Welcome to the Grace Community Baptist Church Podcast. Following Jesus together is our motto. That is why we are proud to present Pastor Brandon Bullock online for all to enjoy.
And an angel, a promise and a song.
Verses here in Luke chapter 1 to get us started, and my intention this morning is to kind of look at the birth of Christ from the promise that you find in Luke chapter 1 that is given to Mary to the fulfillment of that promise, which you will find in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus is born and the shepherds come and they meet the baby Jesus, all right? So I want to look at the promise in Luke chapter 1, and we want to then look at the fulfillment of that promise. How many of you know that when God makes a promise, He keeps that promise? Amen? When God says that He's going to do something, no matter how unlikely it may seem, no matter how improbable it may seem, no matter how impossible it may seem, God will do it. Amen? And that's exactly what we find here in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, is God fulfilling a promise that with man would be completely and utterly impossible, but because it's God, with Him nothing is impossible. So look at Luke chapter 1. I want to read verse number 26 down to verse number 37, 38. Luke 26, Luke 1, verse 26, down to verse number 38 as we get started this morning, where the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I want you to really focus on this next verse. This verse will get you through a lot, all right? Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according unto thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together, this time that we can come and Lord, bow before you humbly in worship. Lord, lifting you up and exalting you. God, we thank you for Lord, the Christmas program with the children. And God, we're so thankful for each child here this morning. We just pray that you would bless them. And God, we pray that you'd be with us this morning as we open your word. Lord, it's my prayer this morning that you would be our teacher, Lord, and that your spirit would be our guide. Lord, our great aim, our great desire, Lord, this morning is not to hear the word of man, not to hear a man's philosophy or preferences or anything like that. Lord, we just want to hear from you. God, we need you, your guidance, your direction, your spirit. So, Father, we ask that you would just speak to us and move in and through us as we look into your word this morning. Reveal more of who you are, and Lord, more of who you would have us to be. And Lord, I thank you for this great privilege that you've given me to minister your word. Lord, I know that on my own, I can do nothing. Lord, on my own, I'm just a broken, unfit, unworthy vessel. Lord, I just pray that you would take me this morning in your hands. Lord, that you'd give to me the fullness and power of your Spirit. Lord, that you would use me. Lord, that you would love and minister through me this morning. God, that all would see, Lord, you, and hear from you, Lord, that in my weakness, your strength would be perfected, that your name would be glorified. God, stir our hearts. Stir up a great revival here in our midst. We give you all the praise and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do here this morning is we look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to kind of look at verses 26 down through verse number 38, which are the verses that we've read. And then we want to kind of plow through and jump over to chapter number 2 and kind of look at the fulfillment of this promise. We're going to kind of take a verse and a phrase, and in some cases a word at a time. We want to see what God is really saying here. I believe that what the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? I mean, every verse, every word, every phrase in this book is exactly that. It is God's word. And I believe that every word, every verse, every phrase in this book has a meaning, a purpose that we need to see, meaning and a purpose for us to apply to our lives. And that is really a burden and a passion of mine, is to teach and to preach God's Word in a way that that is clear, a way that is understandable, a way that is practical, so that we can take these powerful truths and learn how to apply them to our lives. So often we read through a lot of these well-known stories, quite often the birth of Jesus is what we read through today, and what we're looking at today, and we just read through it, and we say, all right, that's the story of Jesus' birth, and that's as far as it gets. But there is so much more here that I believe that God has for us that we really need to take a look at and say, what does God want me to see here? And I'd encourage you, when you read your Bibles, ask that when you read through, all right? You read through a verse, you read through a phrase, you read through a chapter, ask yourself that question. What does God want me to see in this passage that I have just read? The last song that we sang before we opened God's Word was Silent Night. How many of you like that song? It's one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. But I'd like to say as we get started here, I believe that the night that we're going to look at really wasn't a very silent night. It may have started that way, but we're going to read about some awesome things happening, all right? We're going to read about angels appearing and speaking to people. We're going to hear about people praising God. We're going to hear about angels appearing to the shepherds and those shepherds then going and seeing a newborn Savior and then going and telling everybody about what they've just seen, none of which sounds very silent to me. You're going to read about people going to be taxed, and nobody likes that. So I'm sure that wasn't a very, very silent time either. So I would venture to say that while this night may have started as a normal night and as things were silent at the beginning, it was not a silent night very long. So let's jump in here in verse number 26 as we kind of plow through here, where we find the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary with a very special message. You notice that Mary, in verse number 27, she was a virgin and she was a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, espousal here in Bible times, it, a lot of people compare it to engagement, but it's actually a lot more permanent than engagement, all right? This was a promise that you are going to marry this person, all right? In all intents and purposes, they were married, all right? That's very important to look at. Or to remember as we look at this, all right? Her and Joseph, they were together, and so she was a spouse to Joseph, and Gabriel appears unto her. And in verse number 28, he comes with this message that kind of catches Mary off guard. How many of you ever been caught off guard by God? God kind of speaks to you and tells you something, or speaks to your heart, and you're like, wait a minute, what are you trying to say? What do you mean? And that's kind of where Mary is here in verse number 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, Mary was a normal girl, okay, a normal woman. And here this angel appears unto her with this unusual introduction, this unusual salutation, and says, You're highly favored. God is with you, blessed art thou among women. I imagine Mary was kind of taken aback, kind of saying, what is going on here? And that's exactly what it says in verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. There's some things I want to point out here in verse number 28. The first one is this. God sees who you are. God sees who you can be, and God sees what He has planned for you, even when you don't. Amen. So often, we're blinded by our circumstances, and we're blinded by who we think we are, or who the world has defined us as. We're blinded by what seem to be our limitations, but God looks beyond all of that, and God sees who we can be when we yield and when we surrender to Him. Gabriel comes with this message to Mary, the salutation, and Mary's kind of blown away by it, but Gabriel's bringing a message from God, and God is bringing a message that's saying, Mary, I this is what I have planned for you. I know who you are. I know who you can be if you would just yield and surrender to me. And I believe that is a message that God has for each and every one of His children this morning. Amen? God knows who you are. He knows what you can be. And He knows what I can be if we would but yield and surrender to Him and to the power of His Holy Spirit. I mentioned in verse number 37, our key verse as we look at this, and we would do well to remember this verse, For with God, what shall be impossible? Nothing. There are no limits to those who are trusting God, to those who are believing Him, to those who are following Him. Amen? That's what I get from that, right? If God puts something on your heart, if God is driving you and leading you to do something, even if it seems impossible. If it's what God wants, it will happen. All right. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So God sees Mary not defined by her limits, but defined by what she can be if she would just yield unto Him. And that is the same way that God sees each and every one of us. The second thing I want you to notice here in verse 28 is the statement, and this statement is key as we study through this passage, and that is this: the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. You see, when it comes to God's plans for our lives, and that's what God is doing here with Mary. He's unfolding His plan for her life. And how many of you, God has a plan for your life too? Amen? Raise your hand if you think God has a plan for your life. I don't know why we're here if we don't believe that. God has a plan for our lives. And the key to His plan for our lives is found in that statement: God is with you. How many of you believe that? Right? That's the difference maker when it comes to God's plan in our lives. Because let me tell you this: God's plans are often difficult. Right? God's plans often don't make sense to us. God's plans sometimes lead down a way that we've never been before. And that's exactly where it's leading Mary. Mary's this girl, she's never known a man, and God sends an angel and says, Mary, you're going to have a child. And Mary says, how can this be? This is impossible. Right? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And often God shows up in our lives and He does similar things. And we're left saying, I don't know how to do this. I've never been here. I don't know where to go. And the key is the truth that God is with us. And if God is with us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Amen. If God is with us, we can go anywhere, we can do anything, we can face anything, as long as He is with us. Again, His will, His plan, sometimes is dark, sometimes it's confusing to us, sometimes we don't understand, but if we just trust and remember that God is with us, then we can go, we can have peace. Even if his plan leads into trouble, and sometimes it does. Just look at the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel. His plan for them led into a fiery furnace. But God was with them in the midst of the fiery furnace. Right? Often with the Apostle Paul, you read through the book of Acts, his plan led to imprisonment, and his plan led to being beaten and persecuted, but God was with him through all of it. No matter where God leads you, and no matter where God leads me, we have to trust, we have to remember, we have to know that God is with us. That's key. All right? It's key. God is with us. So we have this salutation, and in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled, as I believe every one of us would be if an angel appeared to us with that kind of saying. And verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now what we have going on here is God chose Mary for this special task of doing what? To bring Jesus into the world. Amen? God saw Mary, and this reminds me of the book of Genesis, not to go all the way back to the Old Testament as we look at this, but God is looking out over the world in the book of Genesis, and He sees that the world is dark and filled with violence, but the Bible says that Noah found favor in God's sight. He saw a difference in Noah. And so God used Noah to bring about the promise and the salvation of humanity. In the same way, God is looking out over humanity here, and He sees Mary, and Mary finds favor in His sight, and He chooses Mary to bring a Savior to the people. Now I believe today God is doing a similar thing. God is looking out over humanity, and He's looking for people to bring this, He's looking for people to bring other people to the Savior. Amen. He chose Mary to bring the Savior to people. Now He's looking for us to bring people to the Savior. All right. I love the passage in Isaiah where God's looking out and he says, "Whom shall I send?" And often our response is, "God, send somebody else," right? We lean next to us and we raise the guy's hand next to us. "Send him. Send him." One of my favorite songs, it's kind of a silly song, but it's called "Please Don't Send Me to Africa." And the chorus is something to the effect of, "Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I got what it takes. I like it here in suburbia." And often that's our prayer to God. "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as you keep me here where I'm comfortable." But God is looking for people to lead other people to the Savior. And what he wants us to do is what Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me." All right. To surrender to his will, to his plan, to his purpose. All right. So Mary finds favor in God's sight. And in verse 31, again, it says, "You're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus." Jesus means God saves. Jesus means God saves. And that's exactly who she is bringing into the world. The salvation of God. Verse 32, we read about who this child will be. It says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." God is getting ready to do this amazing thing in the life of Mary. And you know where the focus is going to be? Not on Mary, but on the Lord. Amen. God says, "Mary, I'm going to do this in your life." But notice, the focus is going to be on him. It says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him and the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." God's plans and God's purposes for our lives revolve around one truth. And that is exalting and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. When God does something great in my life, and when God does something great in your life, it's not to lift us up so that we can say, "Hey, everybody, look at me." It's instead to sometimes lift us up so that we can then lift up Jesus. God's plan for us is to take everything he does in us, through us, and for us, and turn it around to praise, to worship, and to pointing other people to him. Right? Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father who is in heaven." So Mary's going to partake in God's plan, and it's an improbable, impossible plan with man, but Mary's getting on board, and God says, "It's going to be all about me." All right? This plan is to lift up and glorify my son, Jesus. And then Mary asks a logical question. Right? She gets all of this news, "You're going to have a son," and all of this great stuff. Verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How many of you think that's a logical question? Amen? Makes sense to ask that question. There might be some doubt mixed in there, I don't know, but I'm glad for this. God allows us to ask questions, right? And I'm glad that as you read through passages like this, God doesn't hide the uncertainties, and God doesn't hide the doubts, and God doesn't hide the questions from those who follow him. You read through the Bible, you will not find one super saint. Did you know that? You will find men and women of God, just like you and me, that sometimes doubted, sometimes had questions, sometimes didn't know what to do, where to go, what to say. Right? God doesn't cover that up, and I'm thankful for that. So she says, "How will this be?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called," what? "The Son of God." Who is God using Mary to bring into the world? Which is who? The Son of God. Amen. There's a few different titles, and you kind of get a hint of them here in this chapter that Jesus is referred to. He's referred sometimes as the Son of David, and that implies his royalty, his kingship, right? God tells Mary that Jesus will sit on David's throne. Sometimes he's referred to as the Son of Man, and that shows his humanity and his servitude. He will be a servant king. Right? He came to serve and to minister, not to be served or to be ministered to. And here he's referred to as the Son of God, showing his deity. He is exactly that. He is God in the flesh. Verse 36, the angel continues to show what God is doing. Verse 36, and behold, thy son Elizabeth, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, again, key verse. Remember this verse. Underline this verse. Highlight this verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So God gives Mary this incredible, improbable, inconceivable news. And he ends the statement by saying, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And what's Mary's response? I love this, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What does Mary do? She just throws her hands up in surrender. God, and I picture her much like I would picture one of us, simply saying, God, I don't completely get it. How many of y'all sometimes don't get what God's doing in your life? Amen? You know what you need to do anyway? God, I don't get it, but I surrender. God, I don't completely understand what you're doing, but I'm on board because I know that you're with me. I know with you nothing is impossible. All right? And that's what Mary does. She lifts her hands up and says, Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. I'm your handmaid. I'm your servant. And I'm just here to serve you. If we could grab a hold of that passage and seek to live that out. Say, God, I don't need to know all the answers. I know you've never promised me all the answers. But I'm just going to follow you wherever you lead. And I know there may be trouble. I know there may be difficulty. Mary could have faced severe punishment for what was going to happen in her life, right? She's espoused to this man, Joseph, and Joseph's going to find out she's pregnant. He could have had her put away. He could have had her stoned. He could have done any number of things. Mary's at a crossroads here. Do I just trust God and trust he's going to keep me safe through this? Or do I run away from it because it scares me and I'm scared of what could happen? Mary says, God, I just surrender. You know, when we follow God, there sometimes can be consequences, right? The Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do we run away because we're afraid of what could happen? Or do we trust God that he can keep us and hold us through whatever comes our way? That's what we need to do. To lift up our hands as Mary did and just say, God, I surrender. Whatever you want, wherever you lead, I am yours. All right? So we have this promise given, and this promise is given, and Mary ultimately just surrenders to the promise and to God's plan. You see, the key to living out God's plan in our lives consists of two things. All right? Faith, just believing that God will do what he said he will do, believing the truth that with him nothing is impossible. Number two, surrender. Yielding unto him. Here in America, we're big on commitment, aren't we? We make commitments to do things. I'm committed to doing this, and I'm committed to doing this, and I'm committed to doing this. And that commitment even overflows into our church life. I'm committed to serving the Lord. I'm committed to following him. Now, this may sound strange. Hear me out. Let me explain it. I believe that God is not so much calling for us to be committed. He's calling for us to be surrendered. He's calling for us to be surrendered. Now, here's the difference, all right? When I commit to do something, then I'm saying it's up to me, and I'm committing to do it. Right? It's my decision. I'm committing. It's in my power. It's in my strength. I'm committing to do it. But when we surrender to God and say, God, whatever you want, I believe that is the heart that he wants us to have. All right? And I believe that heart of surrender will then lead to a right heart of commitment, not leaning upon ourselves or on our strength, but rather leaning and relying upon Him. All right. So Mary here, she just completely and totally surrenders unto the Lord. The promise is given. And if you jump over to chapter 2, and we're going to plow through this real fast. I was told at work that I would be, I work with some other Christians, and we talk about things of the church, and they said I would be in trouble if I preached over on the free food day. So we will try not to preach over on the free food day. All right. You jump over to chapter number 2. Again, chapter number 1 has the promise given. Chapter number 2 has the promise fulfilled. God says He's going to do something. He does it. You know, it's not always in our time. How many of you know that? Right? But it's always in the right time. It may not be when we want it or expect it, but it's always when God knows that we need it. All right? Verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. That's significant. We're going to mention it in a minute, because he was of the house and lineage of David. How many of you know what the word Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. Right? House of bread. And I find it interesting that Jesus, who is the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. Here Jesus, they're going to Bethlehem, and Mary's with them, verse 5, and she's great with child. I imagine that might not have been the most pleasant trip, right? They weren't riding in minivans or anything like that, all right? And she's great with child, going to Bethlehem, verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I read through that and I was kind of looking over this last night while I was on my lunch break, kind of doing some last minute study, last minute preparation. And that phrase just really got a hold of my heart. Here they bring forth the baby that is God in the flesh. The baby who is born King of the Jews. The baby who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all the world, and they can't make room for Him. They can't make room for Him. You see, the world here was not looking for a Savior. The world was not expecting a Savior. The world had no room for a Savior. Even as you look at His life and His ministry on this earth, you see people rejecting Him constantly because they didn't have room for Him. They didn't have time for Him. They didn't want to make time for Him. The Bible says in the book of John that He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. It says the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They weren't looking for it. My question to each and every one of us is, do we have room for Jesus in our hearts and in our lives? You see, the world here, they weren't looking for it. They were busy doing other things. So often that's how we are, isn't it? Even as believers, we get so preoccupied with all of this other stuff that we don't leave room for what is truly important, and that is our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we have room? Are we looking for Him? The Bible teaches that Jesus will one day return. Amen. For those who are looking for Him, for those who are waiting for Him, for those who are expecting Him. Do we have room for Jesus? Here, Jesus is rejected. Even From birth, there's no room for him. My daughter, Sophia, her birthday was yesterday. She turned 2 years old. 2 years ago, my wife had a planned induction on, I forget what day it was a day or so, a couple days before she was actually born. And we were getting ready to go, packed up, ready to go to the hospital for the planned induction. And hospital calls and says, there's no room. I thought, man, that's ironic. This time of year, get the phone call, there's no room for your baby. And that's the message here that Mary and Joseph got. There's no room. No room. No room. Do you have room for Jesus in your life? Often, those hats are awesome, by the way. Often, I'm easily sidetracked. It's like shiny object, like, oh, it's tough. Shiny object, pointy hats, you know. Often, this time of year, we get so stressed out. We got Christmas parties, we got Christmas presents, we got dinners at the church, we got children's programs, we've got this, we got this, we got this. We get so frazzled. And I think we miss the reason for what this is really all about, right? I love presents. I love Christmas trees. I love decorations. I love everything about this time of year. But listen, that's not what it's all about. This time of year is all about Jesus. But so often, we are leaving Him out of what is supposed to be celebrating the day of His birth. A teacher I had in Bible college was telling the story. He was at a Christmas store in the mall a few years back. And they had a manger scene in that Christmas store. And a woman looked at the manger scene and says in disgust, they're even trying to put Jesus in Christmas. People don't have room for Him. People are so, and sometimes we're that way too, we're so preoccupied with everything else. But let me encourage you, let me challenge you. In the midst of your chaotic holiday traditions, mine are chaotic too. Let's make room for Jesus, right? Let's make sure that we celebrate Him on the day that really is supposed to be all about Him, right? Maybe read the Christmas story from your Bible before you and the kids dig into your presents, right? Make time for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. And Father, thank you for your perfect word. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord, to be our Savior. Father, my prayer this morning, Lord, in a world that is pushing you out of everything, Lord, help us to make room for you in our hearts and in our lives. Bless as we have a time of invitation, Father. I just ask that you would move and work in our hearts and in our lives, drawing each of us closer to yourself. Lord, help us to take this time, Lord, maybe to clear out the clutter in our hearts and minds and make room for you. Bless in this invitation time. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to attend our services, we are located at 44 Beebe Street in beautiful Lake Orion, Michigan. We meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and have Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship service at 11. We look forward to meeting you.